sit right back, then you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Kablooey.
Kablooey, and talk about kablooey. That's what we're going to do today on
Sink the Beagle.
I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Krolinski, welcoming you to another episode of Sink the Beagle, in which we look at the issues of evolution, creation, origin, destiny from a lighthearted perspective, because we know no other way, though they might be very serious.
Oh, yeah. Serious as in explosive things.
And today we went on the big kablooey because really what we want to talk about today is what was once determined in a Calvinism, the giant space kablooey, or known in the areas of physicists, the Big Bang.
The Big Bang. The Big Bang has been around for... Oh, I don't know, 50 to 70 years.
It 75 years, and it's 50 years probably closer to it.
And the Big Bang is developed as sort of an explanation of trying to understand why the universe is expanding. It is expanding. We see things moving away from each other. If you just kind of wind the clock back, it is assumed that at some point the universe was smaller, 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 and go back to, 14 billion years or so ago. You know, it was just the size of a large pea.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, you know, just kind of a...
You could hold it in your hand.
Yes.
You were bigger than the universe. Can you imagine that?
And prior to that, it wasn't there, but then it exploded into the universe that we see today. And that's basically it. Now, we've got some problems with that, and we're going to talk today about some problems, but not so much that we have, but some scientists
have. It started. Yeah. It basically started back in 2000, I believe, in four, in the paper by the New Scientist published it. It was the Big Bang Theory busted by 33 top scientists. And actually, we did a little updating of that. When you research that topic or article on the web today, you'll discover that it's no longer just 33 top scientists. It's up to about 402 top scientists. And people that sign on that are not just scientists, but people that have probably apparently well-read in it all, that don't have official, it's over 500 now. They're saying,
and
you know what?
And expanding.
And expanding.
Speaking of expanding.
Who do not believe in the Big Bang Theory. At least they're saying there are some major issues that really make you want to just toss the whole theory out the window because physicists, scientists don't really know, they're saying.
Well, here is some of the pertinent statements that these 33 original scientists published their statement saying, and it says this, the Big Bang today relies on a growing number of hypothetical entities, things that we have never observed. Inflation, dark matter, and dark energy are the most prominent examples. Without them, there would be a fatal contradiction between the observations made by astronomers and the predictions of the Big Bang theory.
Wait. It said hypothetical entities. You know, that's not a phrase that most of our listeners might be using every day. What's this paragraph saying here from the New Scientist? And it says hypothetical entities are...
Well,
that's three, don't
they? Yeah, there were three. Inflation, I thought that was economic, but inflation, dark matter, and dark energy.
These are things that we cannot prove exist, but they've come up with these kinds of things that there has to be something out there. Let's just call it dark energy because
these
we need
patches.
Something.
These are patches.
These are patches in their equations. Things that they've had to kind of creatively think up that would have to be needed in order for the current theory to exist.
Okay, now, we just said a minute ago what the Big Bang Theory basically said, and that is that we started off with an incredibly intense, dense, tiny bit of material that blew up into what we see today. And what we're looking around at is we see galaxies expanding and spinning and twirling off in all directions, but an expanding universe. And for everything to work, there's got to be some of these patches. And let's define them. Inflation. What is inflation? Obviously, I think about inflation when I go pay some bills at home.
Normally, we think of they thought the Big Bang started with an initial burst that steadily went on at a steady rate of expansion.
Huge.
It's
fast,
like a constant amount of air going into a balloon and filling at the same rate, always expanding with the same amount of air. Well, this one doesn't quite go that way. Inflation says there was a big poof to a huge size and then steady from that point on.
And that, shall we say, helps solve some problems in what they have observed. Now, the problem with the patch is that they have no scientific explanation of how that could happen, because it'd be much, 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 many, many, many times faster than the speed of light. And, you know, we have some limits here, they thought, in physics for speed. And so the huge rapid expansion, which they call inflation, helps explain some things, but they don't have a clue as to what could cause inflation.
And what they kind of summarize this to is they call it the horizon problem. Mm-hmm. In other words, when you start measuring the temperature at the ends of the billion, the ends of the edges of the universe,
yeah, 28, as known, 28 billion light years across it,
You find that it's uniform. Mm-hmm. And the way that we understand, the way that physicists understand this expansion is this: there should not be uniform temperature.
No, there shouldn't be.
There shouldn't be. But there is.
But there is, from one end to the other. And they can only explain this that the temperatures have rapidly expanded along with everything else at this big poof like that. You know, so. Okay.
And so there
that would be inflation.
Yeah.
So no
that's
explanation.
No explanation why that is. The second one they had on this whole list is dark matter.
Dark matter.
Now, dark matter, they said, didn't exist. It's a hypothetical thing, but we just checked it out, man. You can buy that stuff on eBay.
Type in dark matter in the internet, the search, hit search, and you can buy dark matter on eBay. Okay, well, that ought to solve the, you know, scientists, no. I don't think, have looked into that possibility yet.
They haven't checked out eBay yet, have they?
No, I guess not, because dark matter is simply this. Taking our best understanding of gravity,
the way galaxies spin and everything.
Right, everything holding together, Newton and so forth, those laws. With seeing a galaxy spinning and seeing that it doesn't spin off into space, there's something holding it together. And the only thing that they can assume is that there's more matter, shall we say, somewhere in the middle or something holding it together.
A mass. A density.
Yeah. The gravity of the center of the galaxy isn't sufficient to hold it all together as they understand the laws currently. So they've come up with something called dark matter, matter that must be out there. We see the effect of the matter. It's holding things together, but they can't see it, and so they call it dark, and they don't know what it is.
Yeah, Vera Rubin, who is an astronomer working at the Carnegie Institute for the Department of Terrestrial Magnetism in Washington, D.C.
Say that again now, Department
Terrestrial Magnetism.
Okay.
It's kind of like where you probably get your refrigerator magnets from. I don't know. Spotted this anomaly in the late 70s, and the best response from physicists was to suggest that there's more stuff out there than we can see.
Yep.
The trouble was no one could explain what they are now calling dark matter. They're just hypothetically assuming that, well, there's something out there. Well,
and it can be as much as 90% of what's out there. 90% we can't see, only 10 we can, and that's a little odd.
And knowing what this 90% is, or what 90% in itself is, is quite a brain bender. And so
they're making it subnuclear, and they're suggesting maybe the reason we don't see it is it's way too small.
Yeah, and so, it's that really factual, definite, certain stuff called speculation, which they're doing.
And
honest scientists are saying, that's a pretty big patch.
That's a patch.
And well, then there's one more, though.
The third thing was another dark thing. It was dark energy. And it is one of the most famous and shall we say, embarrassing problems in physics. In 1998, astronomers discovered that the universe is expanding at faster speeds. It's actually speeding up in its expansion, and that wouldn't happen if you had an original explosion. Things should be slowing. It's actually speeding up.
It's going against the laws,
and they don't know why.
Ring a siren and give it a ticket.
Their theorists, this is a quote from cosmologist Catherine Fries of the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. She says, theorists are still floundering around looking for a sensible explanation. We're all hoping that upcoming observations of supernova, of clusters of galaxies and so on, will give us more clues. But basically, there's something, kind of pushing or causing them to speed up.
What's interesting is that when they talk about upcoming experiments, when you hear that, just think tax dollars. the real inflation will come in, and when you can see the price tag of the start of the project to the end of the project, that's where the real inflation will take place. Because the dirty little secret is, start following the money trails on a lot of this stuff, folks, and you'll see where a lot of the
And that's actually what the 33 scientists originally were kind of fussing
about,
over.
Because saying no one's helping fund our theories, and we're funding these things that have no viable proof, no way of doing it. And why don't you start funding some alternative ideas? Because in the reality is what they're saying in some respects is, you know what? We really don't know why things are as they are. And to me, the most dark thing about the dark matter and dark energy, it sounds more like a reflection of what Romans chapter 1:21 says, that man has just become futile or darkened their speculations. Their foolish hearts are darkened, it says. That's the real dark matter.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
They have darkened hearts. It's really dark matter, I know.
Yeah. Well, and again, these scientists were unhappy because some of them would like to fund some of their research and their ideas of looking at alternate ways of understanding the universe, and they weren't finding funding because they didn't, shall we say, beat the drum to the same rhythm as everybody else.
And the sad thing is, I'm not going to pick on these guys because these scientists are being honest, and I commend them for their honesty and saying, hey, there are issues and problems here. And so what they're really doing is challenging the conventional wisdom of modern Big Bang theory, saying we think this, and the reality is that what we are presenting to our kids at school as fact in the very early on might be nothing more than 20th century fiction, physics fiction. And that's what they're really pointing to. And so the question that we want to do on Sink the Beagle is, where does that cross over into what role does it play in evolution and creation?
And we're going to spend an upcoming Sink the Beagle on talking a little bit more about of evolution from Big Bang all the way to macroevolution, as is supposedly the biological evolution that Darwin felt he discovered. Well, you know, it's interesting, John, that the Bible also suggests that the universe is expanding.
Yeah, torpedo bomb, not text, in this case.
Yeah, bluey. This is from Psalms 104, verse 2, and I like your translation better, so why don't you read it there?
My translation says, speaking of God, it says, covering himself with light as a cloak, he stretches out the heaven like a tent or a curtain.
Okay.
He's stretching out the heavens. There seems to be a level of saying that there is expansion going on, or there's a or whatever it took, God somehow is the one responsible for what we see out there, is really what it's saying.
Well, a number of translations have it, who stretch out the heavens, but yours correctly shows it in the proper original Hebrew, which is it is a present action of God that he is stretching the heavens.
Still today. He's busy working and upholding all things and letting all things exist. And that's where you can have a little bit of, at least it makes the most sense, in my opinion, to believe in this being who is the one who says, I've made it, I've made you, and you matter. And here's why you exist, and here's how you can understand why you exist and what exists out there by coming in relationship with me.
Well, Big Bang ultimately suggests the theory is it's popularly presented to people today, is that through random chance, everything that we see today, including you yourselves, are just a big kablooey, a big chance happening. And you know, we're on the way to from a big bang to a big crunch, and I don't know if that's very hopeful for today's people.
Well, we'll tune in. We'll talk about it more on another
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.